This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. An attorney and former friend of Alex Murdaugh, Mark Ball, took the stand in the Murdaugh family murder trial and testified about what he saw the day after Maggie and Paul were murdered in June of 2021. I'm going to warn you, it is graphic and also disturbing as to what was still at the crime scene. Paul stated that he observed a large piece of Paul's skull left at the crime scene after the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, SLED, finished collecting evidence. He described a piece as being the size of a baseball. The testimony from Ball sheds light on the handling of evidence at the crime scene and raises questions about the thoroughness of the investigation. Take a listen.
Now I'm jumping back to where we were on the morning of June the 8th. After you got out of your deposition, did you go to the property?
I did.
And you went down to the kennels?
I did. I drove over there.
Had the crime scene been released?
It had been released, and because I asked Randy that morning, he said, yeah, they've released it when John was down there.
And what'd you do?
Well, I just wandered around. There was a SLED agent there. I think at some point Duffy Stone and Sean, his deputy, Thornton, was there. And I think one of their investigators, they were over inside the hangar, and there was a SLED agent. At least I'm presuming he was a SLED agent. And I don't know who he was. It wasn't any of the ones that were working the case that I came to find out that were working the case later on that I can remember. And I looked around at different things.
Did you look in the feed room?
I did.
What did you see in the feed room?
Well, by that time, I think Ronnie had either come up or was over there.
Ronnie
Crosby.
Your law partner.
And I think Lee Cope was there as well, but I'm not sure about that. I'm pretty sure. And I was looking in the feed room, and you could see, you know, obviously there was still a pretty raw scene. And there were...
Were there still remains of Paul in the feed room that had not been collected?
At first I didn't see it. I saw shot, you know, on the floor, steel shot on the floor, number two.
Steel shot, you mean pellets from a...
Yeah, like... Bird shot, except it was number two, steel.
Okay, and you saw that in the feed room?
It was all over everything. It was on the floor. It was on the shelves. It was various places.
Okay.
And then I got to looking around, and there was you could see where a piece of buckshot had gone through, and you could see where it had knocked out, you know, or shot through twice where the window was, or is. Two had gone through that. There was some plastic crates or something, and you could see where one of the shot had gone through and had embedded in the window frame right there, the molding. And then there was a piece of buckshot laying on the ledge of the windowsill.
What did you do when you observed the shots?
I walked back out and asked what I thought was the agent, and...
What was the agent?
He said, we've got all we need. And so I walked back over there and looked around. And then looking around down around the floor and all that, there was a piece of Paul's skull about the size of a baseball laying there.
Did that upset you?
It did, very much. I mean, it just really infuriated me. And... I don't know who I was supposed to be mad at, but it just infuriated me that this young man had been murdered and there were still his remains there. And there was a large blood spot and tissue out right off of the apron of that area right outside the feed room that was there. And it's kind of like walking across a grave. It's one of those things you just don't do.
Right. After you spent time down at the kennel area, what did you do next?
I ended up going back to the house, and I remember Terry Brandstetter, Maggie's daddy, was there, and several other people, and I spoke to them and went in the house and eventually went towards where the gun room was that afternoon.
Did sled agents come up to search the house while you were present?
They did.
No. And I think the jury's seen a video of it. We don't need to play it, but were you present in the gun room?
I was. I think they probably 2:30 or 3 o'clock, something like that, they showed up. And I had had a discussion with that same agent. And I'm assuming it's a sled agent. It could have been a sheriff's deputy. But I made the assumption that it was a sled agent over at the kennels and the hangar about, I asked if they'd figured out what kind of gun it was. And at that time, I assumed it was a 223 based on the night before. Barry McRoy had said that he thought it was some type of assault rifle. And I just immediately kind of went there. And that agent had said that it was a 3-something. And I said, a 300 blackout. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, there's one over there in the gun rack. And he said, no, there's not. And apparently Sled had been there sometime that morning or whatever. He said, they already checked, there's not one over there. And I said, yes, there is. And so later on when they got there, there was one there.
So you located it for Sled?
Yeah.
The night, early morning hours, 2 or 3 o'clock before you left, had you seen the gun room?
I had.
Were there guns on the pool table and whatnot?
I walked in there. The door was shut, I think. I think the door was shut between it and the sort of a transition hall. You go through there, and then there was a bathroom, and then where the freezers were, and then it exits out onto the porch. And then straight ahead would be, I guess in the original house plans, would have been a garage, but it was kind of a den game room that Alec had turned into a recreation / gun room and large room. And I walked in there, and there were 3 shotguns on the table, pool table.
Right.
And some other stuff, some shells and stuff.
And when you went back the next day, the 8th, daylight hours, early afternoon, it looked like things had been put up.
They had been put up. There were no guns on the table. There were no shells, no nothing there. And so I asked what happened to that. And I was told that the maid had put them up. And so I went and asked her.
Was it Blanca?
And yeah, I went to Blanca and she said, yeah, I was told to clean up the room. And so I put them up and put them in the rack.
Okay. And did you point out to the sled agents the guns that were on the table that you thought you'd seen the night before?
I didn't point out the guns. I told them that there had been guns there.
When you're on the property, on the, I guess the morning, on the 8th at some point in time, did you observe an employee that had been working on the property for Alec, individual by the name of C.B. Rowe?
I did.
And did you take pictures of his vehicle for some reason?
I took pictures of a vehicle. I didn't know whose vehicle it was. It was a vehicle that had pulled up underneath of the, again, if you were standing in front of the hangar where the big door is, it would have been to the right. And there was a truck that had pulled up in there and it didn't have a license tag on it. And when I walked by it, there was a jug of Clorox and can't remember what else was in there, but it was a jug of Clorox, and I just thought that was odd.
Where was the Clorox?
It was in the bed of the truck.
Okay.
And I took a couple of pictures of it and turned them over to Sled.
And why did you take pictures?
It just looked odd. You know, 2 people had gotten killed, and, you know, there's Clorox around.
Okay. There's been I won't make a statement. Did you see any coolers on the property down there?
I did.
Where did you see a cooler?
When I walked around the bottom part near the, between the skin and shed and the hangar and the other shed, there was a open cooler there, or looked like a Yeti style cooler, and I can't tell you whether it's a Yeti or not, but it was a, one of those thicker coolers, and there was probably a dozen beer cans around it that night, and the next day when I walked by it, it was still there.
Okay.
I just thought it, with all the people and the hoopla that had gone on, that it didn't look very good.
Okay. Did you, I mean, was that the only thing that stood out about the cooler, the beer cans around?
The beer cans, yeah.
Okay.
Looked like somebody had unloaded a boat or something.
Right.
And just kind of thrown them out of the boat and forgot about them and left it.
That's the latest that we have for you right here. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the case as we continue to follow it for you. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Until next time, for all of us, thanks for listening.